to Ukraine now, where the mayor of Kyiv has warned that residents may have to prepare for electricity, water and heating shortages as winter sets in. Mayor Vitaly Klitschko told state media on Sunday that Russia was doing everything for the city to be without heat, without electricity and without water supply. Hourly rotating blackouts began in the capital yesterday and are also planned for nearby regions. Meanwhile, in Ukraine's Russian-occupied southern city of Kherson, which has also had electricity and water supplies cut off, residents have received warning messages on their phones, urging them to evacuate as soon as possible because Ukraine's army was preparing for a massive attack in the city. Belle True, international correspondent for The Independent, is in the Ukraine and joins us now. Belle, can we talk about the situation in the capital first? Can you describe for us first the weather conditions in Kyiv right now and how officials are dealing with electricity and water shortages on a practical level?
Well, it's absolutely freezing at the moment in Ukraine, and this is only the start of the winter. Temperatures will continue to drop. You will see snow, you will see frost, and that's going to be a major problem, potentially a deadly problem for the people here. Now, President Zelensky said last night in his sort of evening address that there were already 4.5 million consumers across the country without power, and that is going to cause a major problem in the capital, Kyiv. We're seeing areas without having, who don't have any electricity. That's impacting water supplies. Local officials have talked about setting up heating points, about 1,000 of them across the city, which is obviously home to about 3 million people. Those heating points will have generators that will power heaters, they will have toilets, they will have blankets, so that during the worst of the winter months, civilians can basically gather there and warm up. But we're also hearing local officials saying, you know, if you have, you know, if you have family members outside of the capital who have access to electricity or heating, it might be worth staying with them. That's how desperate the situation is. And Kyiv isn't even the worst hit. I've just been in Donbass, which is in the eastern part of the country, where some of the heaviest fighting is happening now. There are massive emergency shutdowns happening because the power grid is so unstable after this massive, relentless barrage of rockets from Russia on energy infrastructure. In the areas that have been recently liberated that are close to front town, the front line, we're seeing areas that don't have electricity, water or gas. And so people are literally living outside next to barbecues and makeshift stoves trying to keep warm.
You've spoken to Ukraine's senior energy officials, including the minister. What have they been saying about the situation? Because there's reports overnight that officials are even contemplating evacuating Kyiv.
So I spoke to energy officials yesterday about that statement about evacuating Kyiv. So they are saying that they don't have plans to evacuate the capital anytime soon. But obviously, if the situation does get worse, they may have to move parts of the city out, parts of the capital out of the city, because the situation will get so bad. The energy minister said to me he accused basically Russia of committing what he called energy genocide. He said it was, you know, massive barrage of strikes across the country that was basically crippling the energy infrastructure system. I spoke to energy officials who are in charge of the power grid and also who are running power plants. They told me that this level of attacks on energy infrastructure was unprecedented in modern history. And they warned that the humanitarian crisis that will be caused from this might be something that we'd seen, you know, not since the Second World War. So they are saying that basically it is crippling the country, that people will likely freeze to death, that they need to have urgent supplies to help basically fix these damaged infrastructure facilities, but also that they need air defense systems to guard the power plants, to guard the substations, to guard their infrastructure, because even if they do manage to restore or repair these areas, if they get bombed again, then they're going to continue to have this problem.
And you mentioned you were in the Donbass region at the weekend. How are people coping on the ground?
It's extraordinary. So I was in a town called Bakhmut, which is basically the front line. Half of the city on the eastern side is even coming under Russian sniper fire. So that gives you a sense of just how close Russian forces are. The shelling is constant. It's like a constant heartbeat in the background. It's extremely heavy. And there are still civilians living there. Most of them are elderly residents, the sick, or those who don't have any funds to be able to move. They said they've got nowhere to go, and so they're trying to stay put. I was with a family who had basically turned their basement into a functioning flat. They were even trying to build an underground stove because living above ground is too dangerous. They only venture outside to cook or to try and gather supplies when there's a slight lull in the shelling. But they're really worried about the winter. They know the temperatures are going to drop. They know that food supplies are going to get less. They already don't have access to water in parts of a city. They don't have access to electricity or gas. And so they're basically living off humanitarian aid. I saw the same thing happening in the Kharkiv region, where there's also heavy fighting as Russian forces had been pushed out of some areas. There, it's similar scenes. The elderly, the infirm, the sick, the poor living in sheds they've made out of broken bits of cupboard, of scrap metal they've scavenged from shelled buildings, trying to keep warm, trying to stay alive in what is basically increasingly becoming a humanitarian catastrophe.
Finally and briefly, if you can, Belle, can you tell us what's happening in Kherson?
So we don't have access to specific information about the front line. The Ukrainian officials have been very quiet about what's happening in the south. But from the Russian side, they've apparently evacuated most of the Kherson city, which is the capital of the region. Putin's endorsed that evacuation of civilians. Reports from the ground, including videos we've been seen posted on Ukrainian and Russian Telegram groups, are showing checkpoints being abandoned, flags being removed, Russian flags being removed from administrative buildings. So it does seem to be that Russia has removed most of its forces out of the city, they say, in preparation for a massive counter-offensive by the Ukrainians. Ukrainians are and have been pushing forward in the southern regions, but we don't have access to those areas. They're keeping it very, very quiet. But certainly that is a key strategic win for the Ukrainians. They want to retake the south. They want to, if they, you know, if possible, even retake Crimea that was illegally annexed by Putin in 2014. So the south for them, next to the Black Sea, next to all their ports, is extremely important. So that could be the fiercest battles in the days to come.
Belle True, international correspondent with The Independent. Thank you. It's 26 minutes past seven.